You know, I remember when I used to cry like that. Do you? As a matter of fact, they tell me that I was quite a crybaby. I was always crying, in the meeting, at home, at school, wherever. Our scripture text today, 2 Chronicles chapter 25, verses 1 and 2. Second Chronicles, chapter 25, verses 1 and 2. Amaziah was 25 years old when he began to reign. He reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Jehoadan of Jerusalem. Verse 2. He did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, but not with a whole heart. And that's our subject. How wholehearted are we? He didn't serve the Lord with a perfect heart. He wasn't full of zeal. He was not enthusiastic and he was not committed. And that's our thought for this afternoon. Half-heartedness. Condemned throughout the scriptures. Let's look at a few scriptures. 1 Kings chapter 15, verse 3. Half-heartedness. Speaking of Abijam, in verse 3 we read, he walked in all the sins of his father, which he had done before him. His heart was not perfect before God. Chapter 18, verse 21. And Elijah came unto all the people and said, how long limp you between two opinions? Make up your mind. If God be God, follow him, and if Baal, follow him. And you know why I like this text? This is the text that the Lord used to lead my father to the Lord. And whenever he was speaking or testifying, he referred to this text. Don't limp between two opinions. Make up your mind and serve the Lord. James chapter 1. James chapter 1, verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Oh, I like that. If you don't know what to do, ask the Lord. And may I tell you this? This applies in things natural as well as spiritual. If you don't know what school to go to, ask the Lord, and he'll tell you. And if you don't know what courses to take, ask the Lord what course to take. It's amazing how he will direct you. Verse 6, let him ask in faith, nothing wavering or doubting. He that wavers is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. Let not this man think he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Wholehearted, committed, zealous. Someone has written the following. the half-hearted policy of some Christians entrusting God with a half-trust, believing the scriptures with a half-faith, has led to the being half and half and all round and wholehearted in nothing. Have you noticed sportsmen and athletes? Football season. The stadiums are full. And no matter how cold it is, these sport fans, they call them, will get out there at 3 a.m. with a blanket and some warm fruit juice or something and stay there and wait and sleep there until the gate opens in the morning. Boy, they're wholehearted. And in the summertime, they do the same for the baseball games. And in golf, they do the same. Wholehearted, committed. Is Jesus Christ the greatest fact in our lives? Are we committed to Him? Are we wholehearted? Are we enthusiastic? There's going to be, our brother tells us, and we have been told, a gospel effort in Damascus. What about it? Wholehearted? Enthusiastic? Yes, I want to be there and I want to help. We need to be enthusiastic. And these folks are enthusiastic about their gains, about their sports. And more recently, this fellow Elvis Presley. But beloved, this is nonsense. What has he contributed that all these people worldwide should be making an idol of it? And when we idolize the Lord Jesus Christ, they say we are fanatics. Don't be afraid to be a fanatic. Stand up for Jesus. At home, at school, and in the neighborhood. Have zeal. Be wholehearted. I have several notes here. I can't present them all. But there are a few things I want to say about being wholehearted. Have you noticed you've noticed how sportsmen are wholehearted? When we lived out on Fox Lane Drive, across the street from us, I noticed every morning that an automobile would come between 6 and 7 and drive away. I didn't know who was in it. Our granddaughter was living with us, and you know how the children are. They find out things. You know what she found out? Every morning between 6 and 7, this car came and took this young girl to swimming practice. When it rained, when it snowed, when it was hot, when it was cold, she was enthusiastic. And what do you think I learned? This little girl was the state champion in her division in swimming. Application. How much do we apply ourselves to the word of the Lord? You know what amazes me? How much some believers know about certain things and how much they don't know about other things. Some time ago, long time ago, in New York City, I was amazed as we came from the meeting and two brothers started a discussion. Who was the greatest prize fighter in the heavyweight division that ever lived? I wonder if those brothers could tell me the names of the 12 apostles. Interesting, isn't it? How many of them could name Jacob's 12 sons? Oh, but they knew all about prize fighting in the heavyweight division. Beloved, to what do we apply ourselves? To whom are we committed? You see here, I'm looking for something. Here it is. Application, diligence. We have all heard of Mr. Edison, great electrical genius, right? One of the troubles that Mr. Edison's wife had with him, she never came to dinner on time. Once he got in that laboratory, she couldn't get him out. Tom, your supper is ready. Yes, dear, I'm coming. 2 hours would pass and he hasn't arrived yet. Zeal. But you know there was a man in the Bible who felt the same way about the Word of God? Job chapter 23. Job chapter 23. Verse 12. Oh, everybody get it and read it. This is good. You make a lot of Mr. Edison. He missed his meals because of his work. Job did the same thing. Read what he says in verse 12. Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. No. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. He is right. But I wonder how we feel. At some of the conferences that I used to attend in New York, do you know that there were believers who came for the food? They didn't come to hear the minister. They get there just in time for the food that was being served. Oh, beloved, I ask you, how do you feel about the Bible? Does it attract you? It's food, you know, and it tastes good. I remember, and I've told you this, when I was a boy, 7 or 8 years old, my father used to have a Bible reading in the home on Wednesday nights. And just about 5 or 6 brothers would get there, and I would listen to them. And one would say, oh, brother, that's good. And another would say, oh, that's... You know, I have always liked ice cream, to this day. And I said to myself, they sound as if they're eating ice cream. And then I prayed the Lord that I would get to that point. And you know he answered that prayer? This is delicious. Try it. Get along with the Word of God and oh, he'll show you things. I've told you about my friend Lloyd now in heaven. He worked at Macy's, that big store in New York. And one day he was in the locker room reading his New Testament. And as he read, he said, wow! He didn't know anybody was in the room. But there was a certain fellow in the room. He said, what's the matter with you? Can I help you? Did you ever say wow when you read the Bible? It will thrill you. Job said, I prefer reading the book to eating my natural food. What a testimony. Standing up for the Lord. Enthusiasm for the work of the Lord. I've told you this. You know, that's one of the problems my wife complains about. She said, you always tell the same stories. So I tell her, but you get some new ones. So I've told this before. Cousin of mine, brilliant young lady, I remember it well, one Wednesday evening, she called me up and said, pray for me, I think I'm in trouble. I said, what happened? I just took a biology exam. I said, what's so hard about biology? She said, it's not that it's so hard, but I made a note at the end of the examination. I have answered the above questions according to the theory of evolution, but I want you to know I don't believe in the theory. You have the courage to do that? She's the only one I know ever did that. Call me back the next Wednesday with a joyful voice. I said, how did you make up? She said, I got an A in the course. What did the teacher say about your note? The teacher said, neither do I. Well, thank God for godly people with enthusiasm and a willingness to stand up for the things of the Lord. To stand up. Another incident. I never met this brother. I believe he died when I was still a young person. But I read of him in the Interest magazine going back to 1940. Here was a young man. He loved the Bible. And he served the Lord in the assembly, reading from the Bible and exhorting the saints. At age 45, he was in an explosion. Both eyes destroyed and all fingertips destroyed. How am I going to preach the word? How am I going to read the word? He couldn't see and he had no fingertips to read Braille. But he got a Braille Bible and practiced reading Braille with his lips. That didn't work. Then he tried his tongue and what do you think happened? It worked. He could read Braille with the tip of his tongue. And oftentimes he would bring his Bible to the meeting and read Braille with the tip of his tongue and exhort the saints. He was 45 years when he lost his sight and his fingertips. How old was he when he died? 90. 45 years without fingertips and sight, 45 years with fingers and sight. That man was ambitious. That man wanted to serve the Lord. And that is what we need and what we're asking for. That we serve the Lord. All I'm doing is telling stories today to point out the thought before us. This was a case in Boston. I haven't seen this couple. This must be about 15 years ago. I was in Boston. And they asked me to lead a Bible study. And there was one fellow there who amazed me. Now let me give you the background. He and his girlfriend were living together. She was a violinist, second violinist, in the Boston Philharmonic Orchestra. She knew music, didn't she? They don't take you in there unless you know music. One night she went to the meeting and was saved. And came home that night and said to her live-in friend, get out. You can't stay here any longer. What have I done? What's wrong? I'm saved. You get out. And she literally threw him out that night. And he wanted to know, what have I done? What's wrong with me? We haven't had any fights, any quarrels. She said, all right, you come to the meeting with me and you'll understand what I'm talking about. He went to the meeting and the first night he went to the meeting, he was saved. And soon after that, they were married. And at this Bible class that I attended, I was amazed. Less than 1 year was this fellow saved, and every scripture that I called out, he knew from memory. That's diligence. That's application. And that's what God requires of us, to be diligent, to apply ourselves. I think of some others that I will hold off on. I'm going to ask you to turn with me to certain scriptures, please. Acts chapter 14, verse 21. Committal, wholeheartedness. Acts chapter 14, verse 21. And when they had preached the gospel to that city and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch. Now, when you go home, you read the preceding verses. Do you know what happened to them in Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch? They were thrown out, and Paul was left for dead. Now, what would you do? Would you go back? They almost killed him. He said, we must go back. That's courage. That's manliness. That's commitment. They almost killed him there. He said, they need the gospel. And you know, we have an enemy. We are at war, they tell us. I've said, you've heard me say it before. Beloved, pray for those enemies. The only hope for the enemy is salvation. Please pray for their only hope. Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. Verse 11. I know that I'm starting in the middle of a sentence which is not good English. But I don't want to read the rest. You read it at home. All I want is this verse 11. Romans 12, 11. Not slothful in business. And that's much the trouble with the Lord's people. We're too slothful. We need to be energetic. Daniel Webster. We all know of him, don't we? Great editor of the dictionary. He had two sons. The first one, Ezekiel, and the second one, Daniel. One day as he was coming home, the two boys were just resting and at ease on the porch. And they used to call Ezekiel Zeke. Zeke, what are you doing? Nothing, Dad. Daniel, what are you doing? I'm helping Ezekiel. That's what we don't want. We want to be engaged, as we have been hearing from our brother, in connection with Elisha. We want to pattern after those and seek the company of those that are doing something. Those that are working. You want to know something? I'm finished. I was never this short, was I? I'm finished. And I'm going to ask that we sing. I hope we know the hymn. I've never heard you sing it. Number 555. Work, for the night is coming. Don't be slothful. Don't be half-hearted. Be wholehearted, committed, faithful, and journey on to the very end. 555. shall we rise? I hope we know it. No. Wherefore the night is coming, where through the morning hours, wherefore the way is sparkling, wherefore shall we come? Work when the days grow brighter, work in the glowing sun, work for the night is coming, when man's work is done. Isn't that a good hymn? Work. God doesn't have any lazy people. He doesn't create them real lazy. They become lazy. Do you know that in the church of God, every believer has a gift? Every believer is responsible to work for the Lord. Now I ask you, what are you doing? Verse 3, please. Wherefore the night is coming, under the sunset sky, while the apprentices are growing, work for the daylight
comes. Work!
Till the lamp be faded, made it to shine the more.
Work!
Thank you. Please be seated. Amaziah was not wholehearted. Mark you, as we read, he was a man of God. He obeyed the Lord, but he wasn't wholehearted. Fully committed to the work and service of the Lord. And I ask again, beloved, how fully and how committed are you, are we, to the work of the Lord? That's the lesson. Shall we pray? Again, Heavenly Father, with joy and rejoicing we bow in thy holy presence. We thank thee again for our Lord Jesus Christ and for salvation. We thank thee for our coming together this morning to remember him. And then the time of fellowship that followed, the Sunday school lesson on Elijah and his servant, we give thee thanks. And for the words that we have just considered in the last few minutes, that we are to walk worthy of the Lord and to work fully committed, wholehearted. May this be ours as we give thee thanks, asking thy blessing upon us in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You see, from time to time, I've spoken over time, and I've told you that I'm going to give the time back. Giving you back about 12 minutes. The rest will follow.